I'm honored to be here. Let me get turned on, make Lawrence happy. How about that? You know, I really messed up. I'm going to confess this. I really, truly messed up. When we were putting the roof on this side, it would have been real easy for me to let a sheet of that go and get rid of that. It would have been so easy to do that. I messed up. I should have took advantage of it. Right, Kathy? You'd have split the insurance with me. I'd have done it for 5%. Look at him. He just ignores me. There's going to come a day you are not going to ignore me, Noble. Hey, got your Bibles. Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Thank God, right kind, it'll count. Amen. Be opening your Bible to the book of Matthew, please, in Matthew chapter 15. And we'll start reading when you find your place in verse 21. I certainly did. I enjoyed last night. I really did. I enjoyed them young people. I always enjoy people. I love them. I like being around people. And I owe you people a real debt of gratitude for praying for me. I really truly mean that. I'm not going to go into all the details, but when I was down here and we was putting this roof on, how long ago has that been? Brother Lawrence? Has it been three? Okay. Let me explain this to you. You live in your own skin, right? And you try to tell doctors, but they don't listen to you. Now, come on, perk up a little. But they don't listen to you. So I had an aortic valve, three artery bypasses, stent, pacemaker. All this done. Four major surgeries on the pacemaker. All right, I'd go back to the doctors, the cardiologists, and to my doctors, and they all said, you're not giving yourself time enough to heal. I heard that for a year and a half. I'd go back. You're not giving yourself time enough to heal. Now listen to me. I knew something was wrong with me, and it wasn't mental. I knew there's something wrong with me. All right, I got so where I couldn't hardly go. I still preached every day, almost every week of my life. But I'd drag in, I'd drag out, I didn't feel good. I said to Brother Noble, boy, good health is such a blessing. Come on now, say amen. Good health is a blessing. And when you can't go like 24-7 and you can't go wide open like you used to, it's awful hard to get over that hurdle. So anyway, let me tell you what I've done. I still preach all the time, but then feeling so bad and dragging all the time, it's been 9.5 months ago. Well, no, this is May, right? When do you put tomatoes out? In May, Gene? Or you wouldn't know. Let's get off of that. Where you put tomatoes out? Jay. I love it. But anyway, not this season, but last season, I was putting tomato plants out. And I was down on my knees, and you know how you put tomatoes out. I was down on my knees, and I put water in it, and I was covering tomato plants up, and all of a sudden, I seen black spots come in front of my eyes. Black spots was coming. And I put out about 8 or 10 tomato plants, and so I got up, and then I was about to go out. So I made it to my truck, and I sat down on the tailgate, and I got over it. Well, I went right back fixing my tomato plants, and then it done it again. Well, I quit, finally made it to the house, and I got my blood pressure cup, put the thing on, and my heart rate was 236, and my blood pressure was 63. That ain't supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like that. If your heart beats 236 times and your blood pressure's down here, right? Normally your blood pressure's high. Well, anyway, so I started monitoring my blood pressure, and they finally convinced me that they wanted me to go to Baptist Hospital, and that's in Lexington. From there, they sent me to Cincinnati to find out what was wrong with me. They put me on my knees, and I'd get up off my knees, and it wouldn't do it. They laid me flat on my back in a hospital room and put a bicycle, and I took a bicycle and treaded it like this, flat on my back, for probably 10 minutes. And I still wouldn't have one of these things. I still wouldn't have it. So they was doing everything possibly to find out what was wrong with me. So anyway, when I started monitoring my blood pressure and my heart rate was so high, the cardiologist said, we've got to go in and fix this. Well, y'all do know that it puts you in a high-risk category to redo something that they've already done. Puts you in a real high risk. He assured me that he could do it. Love the Lord. Love God. I said, well, let's do it. Get it over with. Let's get on with it. So I went to Cincinnati, went into the hospital. My doctor come in, Dr. N. Sweeney, and he's suited up, had his scrubs on, he had his mask on. He said, "Hey, preacher, are you ready to get this done?" I said, "Let's get it over with." He said, "You don't seem to be worried about this thing." I said, I've asked the Lord, and I said, "I need help, and I believe the Lord led me to you." And he said, "Let's pray." Just like that. He dropped his head, and you ain't never heard such a man get a hold of God in all your life as Dr. Ann Sweeney. Well, that assured me. So anyway, here we go in, and 8 hours later after surgery, 8 hours in 8 hours in surgery, they replaced all the aortic valve, they replaced all of this arteries and replaced all of it. And his words, he said it was like toilet tissue, the aortic valve. It just disintegrated. So they had to do a wrap. That put me in a high category. Now listen to this. I want you to get this. All right, if you're going to undergo open heart surgery, Brother Lawrence, right? What do you think I was thinking about when I was fixing to go into OR? What do y'all think I was thinking about, Gene? Yeah, right. Okay, now then, I'll hit this real quick. Now then, you go into heart surgery. They have got a shot that reverses the anesthesiology. You don't have to stay in very long. So they take me to recovery. I've got tubes everywhere, all over me, tubes everywhere. A cut from here to here where they took my heart out. I'm laying there, and all of a sudden my eyes pop open, and I got these tubes in my mouth, and I can't say nothing. I said, my wife was there, and I said, "This ain't heaven." And I knew, I said, "This ain't heaven." They heard that part of it, but I wasn't thinking about no stock market. Say amen there. I wasn't talking about no tomatoes. I wasn't thinking about leaving this world. But anyway, my doctor, bless his heart, he said, come to my wife. I don't know why I get hooked up with these doctors. Love the Lord. He come in my room and he said, "Preacher," he said, "this touch and go there for a while." I said, "We thought we was going to lose you." He said, "You're tougher than a pine knot." But he said, "Miss Sisson," said, "we put a bovine valve in him." I did have a pig valve, and now they put a bovine. So he told my wife, he said, "That's a cow valve for all that y'all want to know." But he said, "We put a bull valve in him." Said, "We know he'll be more stubborn, bull-headed than he's ever been in his life." I can't get no break from these doctors. They love me. But anyway, I am honestly for God. I don't know how to explain it to you. I appreciate people praying for me. But the moment I come out of when I got my eyes open, I knew I was better. I knew that. I don't know how to explain it to you. I don't have a clue. I'm just telling you, I knew I was better. Amen. That's enough. The book of Matthew, please, chapter 15, in verse 21. Now, I feel good, so we may go into overtime. I wouldn't pay no attention to it, no way. Everything's 7 o'clock. Can I tell you what they done to me? Could I tell you what they done to me over that 7 o'clock stuff? I was at this church, and I used to say, "What time is it?" 7 o'clock, I'd get to preaching a real big way, and it'd be 8:30. They run a string around the wall, all the way around the wall, to the clock. That when I'd say 7 o'clock, it would be 7 o'clock. They'd pull a string. Must have took them an hour to do it, put a string all the way around the wall to a clock to where they put... I can't get no respect. Hey, I'm like Roger Dangerfield. Matthew, please, chapter 15. Ready? Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is what? Is grievously vexed with the devil." Now I want you to watch this. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Look in verses 23. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him and said, "Lord, help me." He answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that in itself is wonderful. But turn over to Mark, please, and keep your finger to Matthew. And I want to read to you Mark in chapter 7. Now the same identical account, but let me read with me Mark, please, chapter 7. And we'll read in verse 24. Now I want you to listen to this. There is a jewel in this. If I can dig it out of here, this will help all of us. I know it helped me. Look in verses 25. Mark 7, verse 25. A certain woman whose young daughter... Now notice, if you would please, Mark tells us that it was a young woman. Now a young woman, and watch this. And then he said she had an unclean spirit, heard of him. Now Matthew doesn't tell us that. It just... Now then we find out she's got a young daughter, she hears of him, and she came and fell at his feet. Mark tells us that she fell at the feet of Jesus. Now verse 26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children... Say it back to me just for a moment. What's it... Right, Gene, what's it say? First. All right, if there's a first, there has to be a second. Lord, I... Brother Bradley, if you don't get into this, I'm going to whoop up on you. In order for there to be a first, there has to be a second. Now, Mark tells us that Jesus said, let what? In verses 27, but Jesus, let the children first be filled, for it is not meant to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She answered, said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table. Notice now that Mark tells us under the table. Matthew doesn't tell us that. He says under the table. Now watch what happens. And she said, well, where am I found my place? I got to find it. She answered, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. He said unto her, for this thy saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid up on a bed. All right, now watch this. Father, we love you. And I pray, Spirit of God, you're the most welcome guest. Come in our midst, I pray, God. Oh my, help us. Encourage the saints of God more than anything in the world tonight. Set a guard at my lips. And thank you for your goodness and kindness upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now if you go back to Matthew chapter 15, we're just going to flip-flop back and forth there. All right, when you think about this, this woman has got a problem. Hey, don't tell me you ain't got no problem. We've all got some kind of problems, amen. But here is a woman, and by the way, if you look in your text, she's got a daughter, and she knows that the daughter's got a devil in her. Well, Matthew tells us that she's grievously vexed with the devil. Grievously vexed with the devil. So the mother knows the daughter's got a devil in her. Can I ask y'all a question? And I'm as serious as a heart attack. What kind of a man would shoot a woman in the face with a shotgun? What kind of a 14-year-old girl, Kathy, would do this? 14-year-old girl. I was telling Brother Lawrence, I think it is, or somebody, I was talking this day. We went to visit this man, and he worked at Crane in years gone by. His wife's daddy died, and her mother died, and left them a huge sum of money and all this acres, 300 or 400 acres of land in Eubank. He went and bought a 70-foot-long double-wide trailer. I'd never seen a 70-foot double-wide trailer. Well, they had an old cabin up there that Brother Junior Smith, most of y'all know Junior, he wanted that cabin. So we go up there, we meet these people, they want us to see the 70-foot-long double-wide trailer. We go in there, I mean a nice house, nice man, nice woman. I mean, we had the best time in the world, and both of them said they were saved, both of them said they loved the Lord, both of them said they go to New Hope Baptist Church. So they got moved into that house. They got money, they got land, they got everything. And they took in their 14-year-old daughter. Granddaughter, I'm sorry, 14-year-old granddaughter. The 14-year-old granddaughter, they got in this argument, and the 14-year-old girl took a kerosene lamp, poured it all over her granddad, and then set him afire. As he was crawling out the back door, she set fire to the house and burned her grandmother up and burned her granddaddy up. Question, what kind of a 14-year-old girl would do that? Demons. I believe that. If there's demons in the days of Christ, there's demons now. But see, people today don't want to accept this, that their people are grievously vexed with the devil. All right, let me ask you a question. This irritates me to no end. How many of y'all seen where the man up, I believe it was New York City, running down the street with a claw hammer, hitting people in the back of the head? That's what he done. He had a claw hammer in his hand, running down the and hit a woman upside the head, I mean blindsided her, and hit her right upside the head with a claw hammer. Well, one of the policemen that shot him, I think, was it five times? All right, to me, now I know people don't want to accept this and they turn a deaf ear to it, but I'm telling you, brother, this woman had a problem. She's got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. It seems like all the demons of hell have just opened up and running wild in this country. Let's go back to what the problem. Sometimes we all have family problems. Now don't even go there. Don't go there. If it ain't your in-laws, it's your outlaws. If it ain't your brother-in-law, it's your sister-in-law. If it ain't them, it's always some kind of problem. Boy, I'm glad you were saying it a moment ago. Boy, one of these days we're going to say goodbye to this mess, Brother Bradley. Woo! Hallelujah! Don't a five-family yard sale or nothing excite you people? When you think about it, listen to me. This woman has got a problem. She's got a family problem. She's got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. I venture to say some of you have never seen a full-blown addict. I venture to say, Kathy, how old is your granddaughter? Katie, she's 18. She was here last night. It has to be the Crowley in her. It has to be the Crowley. She got right here and stuck her tongue out at me. She's the sweetest little thing. But I venture to say you've never seen an 18-year-old girl that's a full-blown heroin addict. Hey, if you're nodding your head, it's not a pretty sight at all. Or I venture to say some of y'all have never seen a young boy, 13, 14 years old, that's on drugs. I mean, his mind is so blown on drugs. But what I'm saying is sometimes we all have problems, and sometimes it's our family problems. Amen, sister. I've never seen too many divorces in all my life. Hey, I'm honest before God. I'm going to get off this doom thing in a moment. This woman's got problems. All right, now listen. But the pressure's upon her, and sometimes we all have pressure upon her. And stress is what's killing us, amen. I say this, I remember Brother Lawrence was talking about it. Over 48 years of my life, I've seen the nosedive. I've seen the bottom fall out of it. In our churches anymore, they drag in, they drag out. There's no excitement, there's no exuberance whatsoever. They look like the world has fell in on them. Listen to me, listen. I know sometimes we bring our problems. I know that. But when you got problems, don't stay away. That's the time to come and get help, amen. I wish I could get that in people's heads. Amen, sister. Well, we all got problems. Sometimes we have flesh problems, family problems. Sometimes we just all got problems. And sometimes the pressure is intense. Now I got to hurry to go. Look at Mark, please, chapter 7. All right, you say, brother, sister, Matthew, chapter 15. This woman is of Canaan, she's Tyre of Sidon. All right, now I want you to listen to this. I don't have time to really tell you this woman is a Canaanite. All right, she's from Tyre and Sidon. I can't even tell you in a mixed audience what they were involved in. All right, but here they are, come up there, and she comes to Jesus and she says, "Thou son of David." This is the first time that Jesus ever ministered to a Gentile woman. Notice in your Bible, now watch this, heard it. He answered her not a word, so Jesus didn't say a word to her. That's the reason, because she addressed him as "Thou son of David." But drop down, now watch this. Verse 25, when she said, "Lord, help me." Now hang on to my thought for a moment. Notice the reason she came. Would you write that down? The reason she came, she's got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. Well now, preacher, listen. I don't have no daughter grievously vexed with the devil. Brother, if you got unsaved loved ones, if you got unsaved grandkids, you've got problems. It'll be too late when they get a phone call one night or a phone will ring or a state trooper will knock on the door and you'll get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, go to the door and he's got his hat off and you know something's dreadfully wrong. Maybe your grandchild just got killed in a car wreck. What I'm saying is it'll be too late to weep and sob and cry then. We need to get concerned about our families now. Amen, sister. Hey, I'm talking about the reason why she came. She had a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. I see these problems and pressures upon people. At one time, listen to this. Maybe this will stir y'all up. At one time, it came out in the paper, and I've been a member of Saline Baptist Church for 34 years of my life. At one time, it came out in the paper, they don't like us real good around Saline, around Somerset. There was four individuals in the paper in our church that was members of our church getting divorces. And they put that in the paper. Boy, it's quiet. Why did they do that, Brother Sisson? If I could be real explicit, I guess Saline is probably, I don't mean it won't come off this thing like we're the only one standing against it, but I mean we come out against hard, against liquor, and we still got a value system, and we still try to maintain standards, amen. And our preacher preaches, dear God, as hard as any preacher you ever seen. But my point is the inner, the people around us, they don't care too much about us. And the reason why we don't blend too much, probably just about like Grace don't blend a whole lot with this crowd. Amen, sister. The ecumenical crowd, and get together for Thanksgiving, and you have your First Baptist and your Methodist and this and that and that and this and that and all of it. Somebody's got to give in somewhere. What I'm trying to get you to see, listen to me. The reason she came is because she had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. Notice number two, look in your Bible. Listen. Notice she cried. Look in your Bible. She cried. She said, help me. Boy, I got a hold of this, and boy, I'm telling you what you... She called Jesus, if you look back in Mark chapter 7, and notice what she done. She said, Jesus, and that's back up in verse where I'm at. I've got to find it. Verse 25. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, that's Mark chapter 7, she heard of him. What? Hey, what? Can you go back in your mind? Do you remember the hour or day that you heard of Jesus? I said, Brother Lawrence, I had one of the highlights of my life just a few weeks back. I got to go preach at the Crab Orchard Baptist Church where I'm from. Where I was born and raised. It's right on the Wilderness Trail. A man by the name of Jeremiah Vardaman, he organized that church. And I thought it was real funny. I laughed till I thought I'd die. Jeremiah Vardaman, he loved to play the fiddle. He could play the fiddle. But he also loved dance a little bit. Hold down music. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Jeremiah Vardaman started the church, and so when the church men found out that he was playing a fiddle and he was dancing down there, they dismissed him. They dismissed him. I get that. Oh, look at y'all's faces. Then, I love this part. I got to reading in minutes 1808. We're talking about problems and pressures on people's life and how what kind of time we're living in. So the church come together, and they elected two men to go to the pillars of the church, go down and find out if this man was really selling liquor. So they go down to see the man selling liquor. They bring back the news that he was selling liquor, so they dismiss him from church. The next week, they found out that one of the men had went down to see the man that had making liquor. They dismissed him because he was getting drunk. You talk about problems. Y'all are pitiful. Listen to me. We're living in a world that's so mixed up, they don't even know hardly who Jesus is. Oh, happy day in my life when I heard that Christ was the answer, that He was the antidote to my life. He could solve my problem, amen. Notice in your Bible, she came, she cried, and she called Jesus Lord. Now hang on, watch it. Notice in your Bible, she heard of Him. She's at her wits' end. Now say it back to me. What is her problem? What is her problem? Say it, Brother Bradley. Their daughter has grievously vexed with a devil, right? All right, she's a young woman. Am I right? Now, well, here's what I want you to see. Notice that this woman has to be at her wit's end. She's at her wit's end with her daughter grievously vexed with the devil, and I'll show this just in a moment. So she comes, she heard of him, she comes to Jesus. Now, I want you to watch. Notice this now. She feels like, I can't go any farther. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm at my wit's end. Believe me, I know of parents are at that stage in their life. I hope none of y'all ever have to go to jail. I do. I do. Maybe one. I wouldn't point him out, but he's on my immediate right. I'd love to see him in handcuffs. I'd borrow $100 bill from Jay just to see him in handcuffs. Get him back here. I know of parents that absolutely they are at their wit's end with their children. I know, and listen to this, Brother Randall. I know of a parent right now, a man and his wife. They've got a boy that's 17 years old that will steal everything that's not nailed down. He stole his mother's engagement rings and sold them. He stole the TV. He stole the the VCR. He stole anything he could steal. They can't even let him in the house. He steals all the time. Anything of value to support his habit. What would you do? How would you handle that? What would you do? Well, I'd pack him up and send him to a rehab. Halfway house somewhere. All right. This woman, she took her problem and she came to who? Jesus. And she's got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. Well, now this woman knows what her problem is, so here she comes. Am I right? Number one, don't you write this down. Look in your Mark, please, chapter 7. All right, she heard of him. Now remember, she's from Tyre and Sidon. She's a Canaanite. She overcome race, if you would please. Hey, a Canaanite woman. Hey, by the way, Jesus. Well, somebody said, well, that's the reason why they didn't answer. No, it was not. No. She addressed him. She says, thou son of David. All right, that was not the time he was not in the son of David. That's not, no. I'm going to go back and I want you to watch. But when she said, Lord, help me, have you ever thought about it? I seen an Indian man today. And I meant to speak to him, but he had to be a Kiowa or a Comanche, Cheyenne. They're all different. But I seen him today, and I wanted to talk to him so bad. Did you ever notice that people of different color, have y'all ever noticed that they're standoffish? They don't mix very well. Have y'all ever noticed that? Am I preaching Greek to you people? They're sort of standoffish. My Indian friend, Brother Buck Bowen, just passed away. He wouldn't mix. I tried my best to get him to come to our camp. I tried my best to get him to come here. I tried my best to come to Kentucky. Well, he did one time. That's when I had the surgery. But then he came to camp last year. But now the reason why I'm telling you that is this. Sometimes this thing called, this woman is a Canaanite. She's a Syrophoenician. All right, but she came to the Son of God, which was a Jew. All right, she overcame this thing and came to Him. Her problem was so great she didn't care anymore. I wish we'd get that. Hey, I told Brother Lawrence last night, I love my Indian friend. He'd been at that church 39 years. I'd been with him probably 37 of those 39 years. His last breath was this. I was telling Brother Lawrence, I thought, what a way to die. They said he went to the bathroom and tried to go to the bathroom. Now remember, he gets up. He stands 6 foot 8 inches tall. He's not that now. Over the years, he's still sort of crumbled. But he gets up to go to the bathroom, and they're going to discharge him to send him home. He can't go to the bathroom. He's got his discharge papers. All they're waiting on, they've got a wheelchair. They got somebody going to put him in the wheelchair when he goes to the bathroom, take him to the car, and he can go home. But he goes out, and he can't go to the bathroom, and he comes and lays back down on the bed, turns his face to the window, and he says, boys, I'm tired. He says, I'm in good hands. Now, and just like that, he left this world. Boy, I thought, what a way to leave this world. I don't think he was talking about Allstate. He said, I'm in good hands now. Look at this. I want to show you this. I got to go. I can't be here. I don't want to keep you all night. Now watch this. She overcame the reason she came, and notice that she cried, and notice she called. Now watch it. She overcame race. This Canaanite woman, number two, now watch it. She was a descendant from a cursed people. The second thing, looking back, notice this. The disciples said, turn her away. Have y'all ever had rejection in your life? Have you ever, look in your Bible. This woman, not only did Jesus answer her not a word, but the second thing, looking about, her, the disciples even said, send her away. Can you imagine how she felt? And her problem was still there. She still got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. All right, she overcame this. She overcome race. She overcome, I believe the second writing right down, she overcome this racism and this thing about religion. She says, thou son of David. So evidently she had a real knowledge about thou son of David. Religion is going to send people to hell. They got a head knowledge, but they don't have anything in their heart. All right, she overcame all these things. Now, don't you watch it. That rejection. You know, somebody asked me, how do you deal, people, this thing called rejection, how would you like to grow up in a house where a little boy has never been told that he's ever loved? How would you like to be brought up in a house and all you ever hear is, you're a bastard and we never wanted you. How would you like that to be hung on you for almost all your life? Get bitter and angry at the world. How would you like to be kicked from pillar to post and never feel like that the meal that you would sit down to eat that you really wanted there? This woman overcame. Look in your Bible. She, the disciples, they even said, send her away. Jesus didn't even answer a word. The Bible says that she heard of him. She's at his feet. Did y'all see that? She fell at his feet. Now back to Mark. Now hang on. Here we go. Mark chapter 7. Look in your Bible. But she said, take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She answered it, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table, they eat of the children's crumbs. For a little while, write this on the file of your Bible. Hey, the crumbs from the master's hand is more than enough. Just a crumb is more than enough. Amen. Well, I've never seen so many problems building up in all my life. Brother, I told him a little bit last night, our country's in a mess. In fact, it's irreparable. What's been done, there's things that you can't reverse. I never dreamed that we would live in a time when 38 states have ratified same-sex marriage. I never dreamed in my lifetime. Pedophiles. I never dreamed in my lifetime that them words, pedophiles and homosexuals and these things called, they don't mind you call them all these words as long as you don't call them a sodomite. But what I'm saying is America's in trouble. Amen. America, our church is in trouble. Our homes is in trouble. Hey, I told somebody, we have got now 14 churches in our county that don't have a pastor. 14 churches in our county that does not have a pastor. Brother, we're in trouble. You ought to thank God you've had a preacher for, hey, all these many years. I was telling somebody, a first lieutenant in the Air Force called me today. One of the nicest young men you ever met in your life. He's a lieutenant. He said, Brother Sisson, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. He said, I want to do. He went to Crown College up in Knoxville. He said, I want the will of God for my life, but he says, I'm in a state I don't know what to do. All right, now listen to this for a moment. But he's got a wife that if he said, God wants me to go to East Siberia, she wouldn't go. If you got a wife that loves God and a wife that will follow you, you ought to thank God. Amen, fellas. But see, this is a real problem in his life. He's got the call of God upon his life, but she won't go. God may not never send him to East Siberia, but God might use him to pastor a church somewhere. For God's sake, I said, anybody can preach, but what we need is some men that's got leadership capabilities about them. Leadership. Men can get up and preach, but that don't mean, I don't mean because they preach that they've got pastoral call upon their life. I find men today don't love the church. Honestly, for God, I find men that do not love the church. They'll fill the pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't ask me to go to jail. Don't ask me to do this. Don't ask me to do nothing. Ain't that pitiful? I wish somebody could explain this to me. I wish somebody that's got more knowledge than I have explain this to me. We got a thing that's running. It's like a wave that's running across the independent movement. Here it is. We want church members, people that's church members, that are not so high maintenance. Well, why is it so? Is my tie crooked? You and I are friends. All right, he's the under-shepherd. Say amen. All right, he is the under-shepherd of this church, Gene, Brother Lawrence, right? Right? All right, how can you pastor people if you don't know the condition of their lives? They don't want to know what the condition of their lives is. They, like I said, they'll fill the pulpit, but they don't want no high-maintenance people. Well, listen to me. If you get involved in people's lives, you're going to get hurt. But so they put up all these walls of defense. I am not going to do that. So then, therefore, they shut them all out. Amen. And they don't care about the sheep. I'm preaching. It breaks my heart. They want somebody that'll come in, sit down, tithe, give this, do that, but they don't ever want to get involved in their lives. It's everywhere. I never seen nothing like it. How can you? If I say I love Brother Gene. All right. If I really say that, how can I not get involved in his life if he's hurting? You can't. But now I'm saying that that's the criteria today. These men, when they, if you ask them about pastoring a church, I want you to listen to this. Now you're going to get a kick out of this. You're going to get a blessing out of this. I went and I've been going to this church probably 25 years of my life. Every year I go there. Well, the preacher, they had groomed him over the years when he was real young, that he was going to, if and when their pastor died, they was going to call him back to his home church. Well, I never thought he'd ever leave. I thought he would never leave. I thought he would never, ever leave. He had a good church down in the Carolinas. All right, the church, the preacher died, the pastor died, and they extended a call to this young preacher who was a member there. All right, he asked me, he said, Brother Sisson, he said, can you help me find a God-called pastor for this church, Berean Baptist Church? So we set out to pursue one. We set out, we was praying, asking the Lord. Now, I want you to listen to this. They had paid off everything, new facilities, everything. Had 11 acres of land, paid everything off, no debt, no indebtedness whatsoever. And they give the preacher $800 a week. Lord, I wish... Let's don't go. Okay, now listen. $800 a week. They give him a gas card, paid all the expenses. Now, he's asking me to help him, right? New furnishings, new everything. Everything paid. So I called this sorry no-count preacher up, and I asked him, I said, would you consider praying about going to Berean Baptist Church? Where's it at? I told him. He said, well, I'd have to take my kids out of school. I had a lot of confidence in this man, but boy, he pulled the rug out from under me. And I didn't tell him nothing about the money. I didn't tell him nothing about the building. I didn't tell him nothing. But here's what he said. He said, I'd have to move. I'd have to uproot my family. I did tell him, I said, Bill, what has that got to do with anything? That church would have took care of him, marvelously. But I'm just saying, that's what we've produced. They want people that's not high maintenance. No. They want their tithe. Shut up, Melvin. Okay, let's get back to it. You're welcome. Hey, I mean, she overcome religion, and she overcome racism, and she overcome rejection. If you live long enough down the pike, brother, there you'll sense rejection somewhere. They said, send her away. Now, is everybody in Mark? Turn there right quick. Now, Mark chapter 7. Now, watch. Remember now, she's at his feet. She said, Lord, I have a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil. Now, here's what I want you to see. Verse 29, he said unto her, she's talking about the crumbs under the table, for this thy saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Hallelujah, thank God. When Jesus said, the devil's gone out of your daughter. Watch the next verse. Watch this. And when she was come to her house, woo! Hey, Brother Lawrence, how do you think she went? About like how Baptists come to church. Shoot, I don't believe a word of that, Gene. Son, when he said the devil's gone out of your daughter, and she went to the house, I believe she was saying, she probably had a spring in her step, amen. Nothing don't get a hold of you people. All right, look, now here's what I want you to see. She gets to the house, and where is her daughter, Gene? Found laying on the bed, right? Matthew don't tell you that. She's laying on the bed, am I right? Woo! What was her problem? She was grievously vexed with the devil. And now she's laying on the bed. Now I want you to watch this. Now watch. Her mother comes in the house. That's in Mark chapter 7. And the Bible says when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out. How did she know that? Something must have happened in the young girl's life for her to know the devil had gone out of her. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Watch. She found the devil and her daughter laid upon the bed. How many of y'all remember Mark chapter 5? Y'all remember the maniac of Gadara? How many of y'all remember? He's always tearing up every funeral he's around, right? He is nude, and they'd chain him, they'd bind him, they'd put chains on him, he'd just break the chains. But read Mark 5, when he came to the Son of God, it says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Hey, Brother Bradley, sitting, clothed and in his right mind. So now that I have every right to say that he's sitting clothed in his right mind, so the other time he wasn't in his right mind. Right or wrong? I want me a crazy check so bad. I know I'm crazy, but I just don't get a check for it. I'm working on it. I just want to get me in shape for it. It says he was, before that, he would, they'd bind him, chain him, fetter him, everything. And listen to this. Listen, he'd run through up through the cemetery naked. Anytime you find nakedness, it's always associated with demons. But now that he's sitting and he's clothed in his right mind, question, Brother Lawrence, where did he get them clothes? Don't nothing intrigue you people? Where did that man, Betty, get them clothes? Well, I believe Jesus could have just done that and clothed him. Maybe he did. I don't know. I'm going to ask you. When I get to heaven, I'm not like you people. I'm going to find him. I'm going to ask you. But there's some things I want to ask you. I'm going to ask him and say, hey, where did you get them clothes at? But I'm saying it, said Kathy, he was sitting clothed in his right mind. Now, this young girl was grievously vexed with the devil. Now it says when she went into the house, the devil had gone out of her. Am I right? And it says her daughter laid upon the bed. Don't y'all believe in the infallibility of the Word of God? Then why was that there? Well, boy, it's really quiet now. Sure, Lord God, you show her that change. Amen. But how did the mother know the devil had gone out of her? That's evidence. She's peaceful. She's calm, right? So we're not reading into the Scriptures. So what I'm saying is, for her to be laying on the bed, listen to me, for her to be laying on the bed and the mother had the evidence of her calmness. Amen, sister. I don't care what problem you've got, I know a Savior that can solve that problem. I got to tell y'all this. Will y'all all agree that we need to know more about Christ? It says, seeing that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Y'all ever feel lonely? You ever feel like sometimes the world just seems like it's more of a burden sometimes than you can handle? You got children out of the will of God, that'll break your heart. You got grandkids out of the will of God, that'll break your heart. Let me tell you this. This man, talking about knowing Christ and knowing more about him, Paul said, oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. There's a man painting a sign on a barn, and it said, puppies for sale. Big red letters. He said, this little old boy come walking up. He said, I'd like to have a puppy. The old man said, my pups are pedigrees. He said, they cost a lot of money. He said, how much money you got? The little boy looked in his pocket and he said, 39 cents. The old gentleman said, Katie! Katie come running, the female. Had these four little pups right behind her just getting it. He said, pick you out one. And all of a sudden this little bitty pup, the little runt, come out of the doghouse pulling his legs. He got up to the fence and the little boy said, I want him. The farmer said, you don't want him. Said, he can't run and he can't play. The little boy pulled up his pant legs and he had braces. He said, I can't run and I can't play. Said, he'll need somebody that understands. Boy, I'm glad I got a Savior that understands, Betty. I mean, when my back, Brother Bradley's against a wall and I feel like the whole world's caved in on me. Boy, I'm glad, thank Brother Gene, I can run to Jesus. She went to Christ. I'm saying a crumb from his hand is more than enough to solve your problem, amen. Whatever problem you got. Let me say that again. Whatever problem you got. She says, under the table, that's back up in verse 27, and watch this, yet the dogs under the table, they eat of the children's crumbs, amen. A crumb from his hand is more than enough. Glory to God, that thrills me to death. It thrills me. Boy, when I read Matthew's account and Mark's account, it got all over me. She fell at his feet. He's worthy of my praise. She said, Lord, help me. Don't y'all remember that hour of day when you said, Lord, help me? Hey, boy, I've done it a whole lot, amen. I've done it this afternoon. I'll probably do it a whole lot more before I exit out of this world. I don't care what kind of problem you've got. I don't care. A crumb from his hand is more than enough. Let's stand. Heads bowed. Eyes closed.